Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for VCU basketball. You can hear every game on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, and we are very happy to welcome you inside the office of head coach of VCU men's basketball, Phil Martelli Jr. What's going on, coach?
Everything's good, Adam. I appreciate you being here and having me on and covering us here over the dog days of summer.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. So while we sit here in your office and I look around and I see all this great stuff on your wall, can you explain one thing that means a lot to you that you have in here?
That's a good question. There's a lot. I mean, just being in this office is means a lot to me. But, yeah, I don't know. There's some pretty good stuff here. I have some notes from – probably the notes I have from – some people, some of them go way back, just things that I kept over the years that, you know, just some advice, some well wishes, some, you know, there's a note from my wife that, you know, as we were going through tough times, kind of, keep going. So that probably means the most.
I love to hear that. So as we move through the summer and you get to see your brand new roster, I wanted to know which guys in particular have maybe created some chemistry already together.
I think the group as a whole, to be honest with you, I texted them on, I think it was Friday night, that as proud as I am of how hard they've worked already, I'm even prouder and more excited about watching them connect, you know, watching guys that didn't know each other, I guess it would be about, you know, 2 weeks ago, that, you know, now you see them laughing, joking, arguing, putting their arms around each other, you know, going to eat together. To see that quickly, that's what really, for me, that's what I'm looking for over the summer, right?
Yeah.
The 8 weeks to me, obviously the basketball piece, start to implement like who we are, how we play, how we do things, is important. But I think it fails in comparison to how important it is to build that connection, right?
And create a bond.
Get that. Yeah, you need that. And that's something, you know, that we've spent a lot of time on. The first week they were here, we didn't have workouts, official workouts. We just did, you know, some team stuff. And I'm not a, you know, there's people that like that team building stuff, right? Like the corporate team building, like, okay, we're going to go to the ropes course and it's going to make us a stronger team. I think that's nonsense, you know, being honest, like I don't buy that. Like I've done that. I've never walked out of that feeling like, okay, we're a better team.
Mm-hmm.
You go through what you go through together. You build those bonds, you sit in those apartments, you talk to each other. You kind of have those organic moments, and that's what I think builds it. And we've had a few of those already. You know, we've had a few things that we've done or you know, just through workouts, just watching them together. Those are the organic team-building connection moments. And we've had those, and we're going to have many more, you know, before November 3rd.
We're joined by head coach of VCU men's basketball, Phil Martelli Jr. Yesterday, we had some news. The Atlantic 10 scheduling and the pairing for VCU men's basketball. My first thoughts, no trip to St. Bonaventure and no at St. Joe's. Surprising.
Yeah, the one that I missed, that everybody obviously from Rhode Island, I completely missed that we were going to Rhode Island. I had just assumed because they were there last year that we would not be going back there. So I've already alerted some people here that, you know, I've already have about 175 ticket requests for that game, and those are just the people that are paying close attention. So we'll need some tickets in the Ryan Center. But no, I mean, it's to do the conference schedule, unbalanced conference schedule in this day and age, I think is really tough. You know, you're trying to balance all the things of like who should play who and who should play where and when. And then you factor in, okay, UMass, right? Because it's easier once you get into a rhythm of it and you say, okay, well, here's the list. Okay, you flip the home teams, you flip the road teams, and you kind of go about your business. Then you lose a team. Now it's going to be five, you know, home-away pairs. And then you're going to have the others, you know, who's going to be the home teams, who's going to be the road teams. It sounds like we'll open at home, you know, which is good, sometime probably like December 30th, December 31st. I don't know if that's official, but it sounds like it is. You know, so really I'm more anxious to see, okay, what does the, you know, we probably won't get it till September, but what does it look like in terms of the rhythm? And obviously at VCU, the TV people want you. Yeah. Right. So you don't, you know, I'm used to the rhythm of Thursday, Saturdays in the America East, you know, and now it's going to be, okay, you're playing on a Tuesday, then you're playing Friday, then you're not playing till the next Saturday, and then you're playing Tuesday again, and then you're playing Friday again, and then you're playing Tuesday, and then you're, you know, like, and then you're Wednesday. Like, so that's what I'm anxious to see is what that looks like. But it should be a very competitive league. You know, it should be a very competitive year in the A-10. And, you know, I think there's a handful of very good teams that are being built, you know, across the conference.
Yeah, I started to get used to Friday Night Lights. I like it. You know, speaking of the schedule, everybody knows how great of a home atmosphere the Siegel Center is, but also how tough it is. So how do you lure a Power 5 team to the Siegel Center?
Well, it's definitely tough. And I give a lot of respect to New Mexico when they signed that deal. Sometimes you have to do that, right? You have to go on the road. NC State, you know, we'll go there this year so that they come back. You know, it's tough. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, the ACC, who is in our geographical footprint, they put out their, you know, okay, they're going, dropping two games. And we called around. And we got one maybe that we're still working on. So, you know, it's kind of tough that way. Like, you're like, all right, you know, because we'll do it wherever. Like, I would love to play, you know, whatever number of games we can play in the Siegel Center, whatever the max we could play is, that's what I'd like to play. Because this place is incredible. The fans deserve it. They deserve to see us night after night after night. The fact is we have to be creative, right? We have to go to an MTE in Atlantis. We have to, you know, work on a neutral game with a team like Utah State. We have to, you know, we have to do things like that, you know, to have those opportunities. And, you know, outside of, okay, the teams that need money and you're buying those games for them to come play here, it is really hard, you know. And even with, it's become more enticing to come play a team like us because for one of those ACC teams, we're going to be a, you know, we should be a quad one road game for them. So you come to the Siegel Center, yeah, tough game to play, tough team, you know, tough place to play, but it should be enticing because that's what the net and the NCAA is saying. We want to see those games, but we still get a lot of no's when we make those calls. So we're working it. It's not for lack of trying. And we, you know, I know there's people that are like, well, why don't you play this team? And like, yeah, we've called them.
Right.
We've called them. We've tried. We've told them, look, we'll do whatever. You know, we'll come to you first. You come back here. We'll go neutral. We'll go whatever. You know, we could do 3-year deals, 2-year deals, 4-year deals, whatever it is. But you need two to tango, and you know, sometimes it feels like we're the only one on that dance floor.
Joined by Phil Martelli Jr. from VCU men's basketball, the head coach here. So I read something like, I think it was only four seniors in the Atlantic 10, in the conference as a whole, have played on the same team for all 4 years, and Christian Furman is one of them. Do you think you'll have someone like that at your time at VCU?
That's amazing to me that there's four, to be honest with you. I can't believe there's that many. You know, starting with Firm, it's a testament to who he is, the loyalty, the character that he has. And it's a testament to VCU and the VCU community that he was embraced in the way that he was, and then he embraced that. And I mean, for him to go through it, I would bet that none of those other four that you mentioned went through three different head coaches.
Right.
Like that is a complete anomaly in this day and age. So credit to him, and we love having him. You know, his energy and enthusiasm for the game, for the school, for the program is unmatched. So, you know, he's been great to work with. I certainly hope so. I think, you know, we're in a – obviously you keep hearing like we're in a transition period in college basketball, and we are, and that will continue. But I think with the house settlement, with things starting to come along, you're going to start to see a little more stability. I do think I've heard some people and read some things where they're saying like there may be, depending on how things shift here in the next couple years, you know, you'll probably see some more stability, right? It'll be more enticing for people to just stay rather than just go continue to chase, you know, a paycheck or chase a number or chase whatever. So, you know, I do think that will bode well. I think the way we treat guys, you know, this is a transactional world that we live in. Not just the college basketball world, but the world in general, right, is very transactional. College basketball has become extremely transactional. But for us, the relationship piece has been really, really important, you know, day in and day out. And I do think that transformational piece, that relationship piece, has to be at the forefront of everything we do every day. Because of that, you know, and again, it was at a different place, but you know, we've been able to keep guys around that you'd say, okay, well, that guy could leave. Like, he could go to greener pastures. He could go leave because he wasn't playing that much. He could go leave because he's really good and he could go get a big payday. And those guys stayed. And I think it's because of the people we have around, the characters, you know, the level of character that we put in the program from the coaching staff to the players. Guys want to be around that. And you know, with development and the way guys continue to get better, I think they recognize that and they say, like, yeah, why would I leave? You know, like, it's not about the money. It's not about whatever. And much, like, VCU is a destination type of place. Like, we got guys in this locker room that are coming from high-level places that they say, like, man, this place is awesome. You know, and you're like, okay, you were at School X, and School X has a lot of the same. And they're like, yeah, it's not the same. So, I certainly hope so. I hope we have many of them.
Yeah, I know part of it's out of your control, but I feel like I can speak for the fans when I say, you know, that's what made us fall in love with college basketball, mm-hmm. is, you know, seeing Travion Graham go through freshman to senior year and so many stories like that. That's Phil Martelli Jr., head coach of VCU. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Here with Phil Martelli Jr., I want to get to know you a little bit on the court, what you're like and what we'll see this upcoming season. I'm going to name three categories. You tell me which you think you're strongest in.
Okay.
All right. Out-of-bounds plays, zone defenses, timeout management.
Strongest, I'm going to go – our out-of-bounds numbers were pretty good the last 2 years, so I'm going to go out-of-bounds plays. Even though I don't necessarily feel that way, but I will go by the numbers on that one.
Okay. And the other two, how do you feel about yourself?
Good, yeah. I mean, you know, we've played some zone in the past. I would have said, except we got away from it this past year and played all man-to-man. After mm-hmm. the year before, we played a lot of zone. Prior to that, we played a ton of zone. And I, you know, as an assistant, I was the defensive coordinator and kind of implemented a lot of that. So, you know, and then timeout management, you know, it's I'll put that third just because the other two I think are pretty good. And with the timeout management thing, what's interesting is you have to learn your group. I'm not necessarily like some coaches go and they meet with their staff and then they go into the huddle. I kind of just like to get in there right away and kind of feel them and get their energy. And you have to learn the group.
So like you mean like some groups can play through not calling timeout?
So yes. And I'm more of like a let's play through a little longer, you know, than stop. I was thinking of the management of the actual timeout. But yes, timeout management, you know, because for me, in a lot of these situations, you know, like the one I don't necessarily get is the timeout. You're going on a run and the timeout after you score to like set your defense with like 6 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need that, but a lot of times I'm like, all right, I just feel like you just kind of killed your momentum. Like that's one of the things you don't see in the professional ranks,
mm-hmm.
right? And the game is different. Like, but you don't see, heck, sometimes they can't even call timeout in those situations. But you know, you don't see. You're not watching the NBA Finals, watching Rick Carlisle call timeout after they just scored, you know, back-to-back baskets, and you know, like they don't do that. So for me, it's more playing through. Like, okay, a team makes a run. Like, if we're playing the right way, like sometimes people just automatically assume, like, all right, it's an 8-0 run. You got to call timeout. Well, if we've gotten the right shots and they've made a couple tough shots, like I'll do that early in the game, right? Like first couple minutes. Like, yeah, sometimes you go down 8-2 and you're like, oh, my God. And it's like, no, like we just had three wide open shots. We missed them. We're going to make those shots, you know, at some point in time if we keep getting those shots. And on the other end, you're like, all right, they've just made, you know, four contested tough mid-range shots. Like, they're not going to make those shots. And before you know it, usually what happens in those games is the shots you've continued to get, you start making them. They're still taking tough shots. They start missing them. And then that 8-2 becomes, you know, 28-11 real quick. You know, and you're up and you go like, yeah, that's the game. So, and I like having them late. I like having them late, you know, with the situational stuff. I think is important, you know, kind of putting it in the right hands and putting guys in the right place. So I do lean towards, okay, I want to get into those final moments and say, all right, I got two timeouts, right, instead of just burning them, you know, through the second half.
From your experience, learning from your dad, learning from your playing career, what is the best thing for a coach to do in the huddle with the game on the line?
Be organized, be confident, and be clear. I think those things are really important. and I think a lot of those decisions you have to make prior. Like somebody should be able to walk in here right now, right? And say, okay, down three seconds to go based on out of bounds, what are you going to run? Not, okay, you're at St. Louis, it's a tie game, and now you got to, you know, with 1 second left and figure out, okay, what are we going to do? If you're doing that then, you're screwed. You should have it so that you are, you know, for me, like, again, organized with it. I have it here. Actually, one of these things at my desk here, I think it's in this pile, has my list of situational stuff, right? And all the different situations that have come up, that could come up, and what we would do if we were in that situation.
So right? It's just again, plan ahead.
Yeah, like you got to have and then trust that, right? Like trust that, I mean, there's situational stuff that we – dry ran all year that we didn't run one time this year, like a baseline out of bounds, a sideline out of bounds, or whatever. But, you know, being prepared for that and having them having seen it, right? Because then, again, if you're in that situation and everyone's going crazy and you're trying to draw something up as they're, you know, doing a clock review, you know, and it's like, all right, we're going to have this sideline. Guys aren't – they're not going to be able to really focus – as you're trying to zip through on the mark on the whiteboard, like, all right, boom, 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 do the, you go here, Adam, go there, blah, blah, blah. But if you go, okay, here's where we're running, you know, Pistons, right? And here, okay, so now they know that because they've seen it. And then you're drawing it up to just remind, hey, and then here, look for this. The way they're guarding this, this slip's going to be open. We're going to get it. So just having that. And then, to be honest with you, it's a make or miss game from there. You know, you execute it and, you know, my first game as the head coach, we lost at home to Manhattan, a sideline out of bounds, you know, same deal. We executed perfectly. We missed a shot, you know, and then we executed it just okay against Towson to send it to overtime and hit the shot, you know, and you go like, all right, I'd have taken the first execution every time. We just missed the shot, you know, like just it is what it is.
Joined by head coach Phil Martelli, Jr., tell us about the roles for the coaching staff. How do you decide that? For example, your brother.
Yeah, so it's ironic that you asked me that because I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's been a head coach at the Division III level, now at the Division I level, and just a really smart guy. We just had a, you know, we were just checking up on each other last night and had a conversation about that because obviously it's a bigger staff and more people and really just trying to pick on, okay, what is everybody's strengths? Where are they weak? Which is okay, right? We all, including myself, have certain weaknesses, but where are guys strong? And then, you know, trying to push those things to the forefront, right? And then kind of decide, all right, there's the list of like, here's the staff, here's their strengths, here's their weaknesses. And then here's the list of all the things that we want to, you know, kind of navigate, right? It can be on the court stuff, off the court stuff, you know, whatever it is, you know, so, and then obviously having knowledge of the university and the area and the community. So, you know, things of that nature, certainly Jimmy, you know, would be relied on a lot, you know, B-Rouse would be relied on a lot. Brad would be relied on a lot with that type of stuff. You know, and then just figuring out, like, again, with the basketball stuff, like, all right, who's really strong? Who's got a really good eye for offense? Who's got a really good eye? Who's strong with defense? Who's really strong? You know, Chris Cole, who came with me, really good player development. You know, so that's something that he's really focused on. Like, you know, hey, these workouts outside of our team workouts, like, you know, what are guys working on, right? And kind of having a plan for that. Because everything we do with that stuff, with anything, like, we want to be intentional with what we're doing. So it's not just going willy-nilly, like, all right, like, just go down there and see what's up. So just really finding those guys, you know, what they're strong with, what they're passionate about, you know, and then just trying to give them the freedom and the confidence to go, you know, find a way to make an impact on the program. And so far, they've all done it.
Coach, one of the frustrations we've heard from the fan base getting excited for the season is not knowing who the starters are going to be, not knowing the faces, the names. Now that you've had a chance to get a few of the guys, most of the guys, I'd say, under the same roof, can you tell us any standouts, any surprises so far?
Honestly, I don't know if I could pick, you know, just a couple guys. I mean, the returning guys have been really good. I'm really pleased with where they are. You know, obviously Brandon Jennings, kind of the beginning of that with being a local guy and the impact he had last year. You know, Michael Bell's been playing well since he's been back, you know, this summer. Firm, we talked about, you know, with his energy. You know, Terrence Hill, I like a lot. You know, just a worker, just a one of those low maintenance. I make sure I make it a point. As being, having been one of those guys, like a low maintenance, tried to be, you know, you have to make sure that those guys know, like, you're not forgotten. Because sometimes the high maintenance guys get all the attention and you feel like, hey, man, like, I'm doing all the right things and no one's, you know, but Terrence, I'm a big fan of. The two freshmen, Jordan Tillery, has been a nice surprise. Obviously, we did not recruit him. He was recruited by Ryan Odom and their staff and still wanted to come. Great kid, worker, just has a high motor. Like, he reminds me of the types of guys that have been successful at VCU and been successful with us. Nick Lewis just got back. He was gone for a couple days. He went out with the USA under-19 team.
Yeah.
Did not make the team, but as one of the coaches out there told me, he said when they got started, he said, man, he goes, this level, he said, I've done this three times now. He goes, we've never had talent this high. And he said, he goes, there's going to be NBA guys, future NBA guys are going to get cut from this team, which is a rarity. So, you know, Nick was out there, and all reports were that, you know, he held his own and played well. So he just got back, you know, he's back in the gym today with us, just got back last night. You know, so those are the two freshmen, and then it's a bunch of transfers, right? Like, you know, Jordan Dumont's, you know, you can see, like, high-level shooter. Like, you know, he is – what we saw is what we're getting, like, high-level shooter, you know, great kid, you know, has a work ethic to him, the whole deal. Tyrell Ward from LSU, starting to get into shape. You know, obviously a year of not playing kind of slows you up a little bit, but he reminds me of some of the guys we've had that kind of had some layoffs over the years that end up being pretty good players. You know, that just once they got in shape and once they figured out how we go about our business every day can take off. Our two Bryant guys, Barry Evans and Keyshawn Mitchell, have been good. You know, they obviously know what to expect with the workouts, and I think that's helped. Probably Barry more than Keyshawn. He's just got a little more personality, a little louder, where Keyshawn just goes about his business. But those guys, I think, have helped these other guys kind of understand, hey, this is what we do and how we do it, and this is why we do it. Mm-hmm. And hey, you know what? Like, yeah, I wasn't sure either, but then once I figured it out, like, I had a ton of success. So, you know, that really helps. Ahmad Noel has been very good. He has shot the ball way better than I thought. I mean, I knew he was a better shooter than he showed at UConn. I've seen him make shots in high school and in AAU, but he has really, really shot the ball well in our workouts. And if he's doing that for as strong and as gifted as he is with the ball in his hands, you know, that bodes well. Jadrian Tracy, Bam, you know, just graduated from Oregon, so he was back there this weekend. But he's been great, you know, just an old guy who's been around it, has a great maturity and a great way with his teammates about him. Like, you want those older guys to be guys that can kind of embrace everybody. He's one of those guys, you know, that really embraces everybody. Lazar Djokovic, he is a big, strong dude. And you see it. We play one-on-one every day at the end of every workout, and, like, the guys are playing against him. Like, he's driving at them and, you know, spinning off them and using his body. He is a big, 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 strong dude. And ran into the, you know, the Texas guy, Sean Miller, and his staff last week recruiting, and they said it. They're like, you're going to love him. He said, there'll be days, like, he's driving you nuts, but you're going to love him most days because he's so big and strong and physical. You know, and knows how to play. So, you know, really pleased with that group. Hopefully I didn't forget anybody. I'm trying to.
I think you hit it. I mean, that was a great breakdown. I think my follow-up to that would be, no offense to where all those guys came from, but a lot of them probably haven't seen a facility like the Basketball Development Center, the BDC here at SU. Have you felt like these guys are maybe spending extra time, extra hours here because they're just obsessed with this place?
Yeah, it's for sure of that. Like, for sure of that. Like, you want to be here, right? And it's a credit to VCU. It's a credit to the athletic department. It's a credit to Ed and his staff of, like, making this a place that you want to be here. Staff included, right? Like, you know, like, you just sort of, like, you want to walk into this building. It makes you feel good. It just makes you feel energized when you walk in here. And the whole setup, you know, with where the guys live, the proximity, the whole deal – you know, it makes it easy for them to get in. And then having a staff that's so willing to work with them. You know, these guys are incredible, you know, and it really is very much like an NBA setup in a lot of ways, with the way the building is, the setup of the building, the amenities of the building, and then with the staff of, like, having guys that can be on the floor, can help work them through. And it doesn't have to be, okay, you only have three coaches and you're trying to, like, do all the things, and then you got guys that want to work out. So, you know, having a knowledgeable staff, a very hardworking staff, has really helped.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much. It was great to sit down with you once again. We talked to you when you first got hired, and as we sit here once again, June 18th, what is your message now to the fan base, to Ram Nation, these last few months?
Stay excited for what's to come. You know, we're not shying from anything. You know, we're not shying from expectations. We're not shying from you know, any of that, right? And I hope that the fans feel the same way. You know, be excited about it. And, you know, we are working hard and, you know, hoping to give them some opportunities to see us before, you know, before November 3rd and get out there, whether it's exhibition games or open practices and things like that. There's all stuff we are working on. You know, it just takes a little bit of time to do all the logistics and everything that have to come with that. But, you know, I do want everybody, as I said, you know, back it was March 28th maybe, you know, like this is your team. This is your program. We are here taking care of it right now, but the former players, the alumni, the donors, the season ticket holders, the community of Richmond, this is your team. And I feel that more and more each day, every place I go, you know, and talking to people and meeting people. And I hope that they feel that. I hope that they feel like this is your program, this is your team. And yeah, the names may change, the there may be more turnover than people probably like. I get that. It's where we are in college basketball. But at the end of the day, the one thing that doesn't change is that black and gold and that VCU on that uniform. And we have a lot of people that are proud to be part of that right now. And I hope that they will, all those people out there listening, will come and support that, you know, and understand that, hey, you know, the names can change, the faces can change, but VCU winning will never change.
That's Phil Martelli, Jr., head coach of VCU. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.